Daniel chapter 10. And if you didn't think it could get any more wild or wilder, if that's a word, Daniel 10 carries us to another level. Now, I spent two Wednesday nights on Daniel's 70th week, and here's what I found. It's just something interesting. The main number in the Bible is seven. God does things in seven. He created heaven and earth 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. There's been 6,000 years of human history, and then on that 7,000th year, the millennial reign of Christ, we will rest in the kingdom. So he does everything in sevens. And so we were talking about Daniel's 70th week, which is that number seven from Nehemiah chapter 2 all the way to the end of, this is the last week, is 490 years. So there's seven of them. From Adam to Enoch, 490 years. From Enoch to Noah, it's 490 years. Noah to Abraham, Abraham to Moses. Exodus, now what that, the Exodus is from when they left Egypt. Exodus to the first temple that was built, 490 years. And so on and so forth. There's seven of those. And it's an amazing thing how God does that and lays all of that thing out in that fashion. And if you didn't believe that that book is inspired, just by seeing things like that, you'll know, yes, Daniel was writing this down, but there was somebody holding a pen. And so it's just interesting. All right, Daniel chapter number 10. And let's look at verse number 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. Now, that was the name that Nebuchadnezzar gave to Daniel. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing and had understanding of the vision. Now, what Daniel 6 will tell us what this vision is, and it's a lot of information. I know it's only like maybe 21 verses, but it's just some wild stuff that goes on in verse number 10. And when I start talking about all this stuff and telling you some of these things, if you've never heard it before, you know, people watching this on the internet or whatever, you would think, oh, you know, the preacher's done lost his mind, and I may have. But the third year of Cyrus, you'll understand, after Babylon, then the Medes and the Persians took over. Well, if you were to look in chapter 9, the first year of Darius, Darius was the Median king, and then you got Cyrus in chapter 10, he was the Persian king. The third year, Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed. You'll notice in verse 1, three times the thing is mentioned. Now, that word could be some type of matter, object, some type of event that's going to take place. And that's what he's talking about. Daniel prayed, and he says, but the time appointed was long. In other words, he prayed, and it took a long time to get an answer for it. And then we'll look at that in just a second. Look at verse number 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks, 21 days. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. I have seen people do what they call the Daniel fast. It's 21 days. And this bread is called no pleasant bread. In other words, it's not leavened. It's sort of like what we would use for the Lord's Supper, unleavened bread. Have you ever heard this? If it tastes good, you shouldn't eat it, right? So Daniel says, I ate nothing pleasant. You know, basically no pleasant bread, basically water, fruits and vegetables, things of that nature. And you can do a fast that way. Some people think, well, you have to fast and you don't do anything, eat anything. Well, there's certain kinds or different kinds of fasts. There's liquid fasts. There are fast such as this, where it's just water and certain foods, things of that nature. The reason Daniel is doing this is because we're going to see here in just a minute, there was some trouble getting his prayers through. He's in mourning those 21 days. Verse number 4. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Now, if you were to, I think I got the verse up here for you, in Genesis chapter number 2. And I put the verses up here so it saves a little time from turning. But if you want to turn and mark in your Bible and all that kind of stuff, wonderful. But in Genesis chapter 2, verse 14, this is in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden was split off into those four rivers. Verse 14, and the name of the third river was Hiddekel. This is the Tigris River. Now, where Daniel's writing from, here in Persia, the land of Iran, that area, I'm assuming, by what we're reading, Daniel's very close to where the Garden of Eden was at one time. Just by, you know, going toward the east of Assyria. Well, that's where we're reading it from, right here. Now, verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass. And the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. Now, Daniel is describing this person, this certain man that he saw. And you say, who might this be? Well, if we were to look in Revelation, over there in Revelation chapter number 1 and verse number 12, this is the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos. As I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps, a golden girdle. Almost exactly what Daniel is describing over there. And then you'll look at verse number 14. His head, his hairs were white like wool, white as snow, and his eyes were a flame of fire. Watch this. His feet like unto fine brass. Daniel said polished brass, fine brass, as if it burned in a furnace. And his voice, Daniel said, I forgot what Daniel said. What did he say? A multitude. Yes, right. Multitude. And and John says, as a sound of many waters. So, if this is true, and it would make sense, he appears to John on the Isle of Patmos and gives him the revelation of the New Testament. Well, don't you think it would suffice that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Daniel and gave him the revelation of the Old Testament? Well, now, this is not the only time that that has ever happened. There have been four men that the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to. Now, let me say this. Before the cross, before Jesus was born, before the incarnation, any time in the Old Testament when the Lord Jesus Christ showed up, made an appearance, like he did into Abraham in the plains of Mamre, like he did to Moses talking to the burning bush, those are pre-Bethlehem appearances of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible sometimes calls it the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord appeared. He was the guy, the one, the fourth man in the fire. We read about in chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in the furnace of fire. And the king says, I thought we threw in three. I'm counting four. And the fourth appears to be the Son of God. That is a pre-Bethlehem appearance. So what Daniel is seeing is a pre-Bethlehem appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. He appears to Daniel. We read about it. He appeared to John. We read about it just a few minutes ago. If y'all remember this, in Acts chapter number 9, when Paul, Saul, got saved, he was on the road to Damascus, riding a horse. He saw a bright light come down from heaven. knocked him off his horse. I'm not quoting it just right. But the same type thing that happened to Daniel, which we're fixing to read, happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. Even over in the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel is the book right before Daniel. Look at Ezekiel 1. And I'm just trying to show you, that this is not uncommon. Ezekiel chapter 1. Verse number 4. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud of fire, enfolding itself. A brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, a color of amber, fine brass, out of the midst of the fire, and so on and so forth. Look over here just to save time. Look at verse 27 of Ezekiel 1. And I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw as it were the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about, as the appearance of a bow that is in the cloud of the day of the rain. So was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the who? The Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Now, you've got Daniel, which he's fixing to fall down on his face. I should have went ahead and read it before I went into all of this stuff. You've got John over there in Revelation. John saw. He fell upon his face. Ezekiel, we just read, fell upon his face. Paul fell off his horse and all that kind of thing over there in Acts chapter number 9. Here's what I want to say in passing. Anytime you get into the presence of the Lord, now I'm saying this for a reason and a purpose. And those of you watching, those of you here, hopefully it won't make you upset. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Anytime you get in the presence of the Lord, you fall face forward, not backward. That's the Bible. It's not a matter of going backward. You go forward. Anytime in the Bible, you see that. You fall face forward. Daniel chapter number 10, let's go back there and let's talk. These four men, when he appears to these four men, Daniel, Paul, Ezekiel, John, they're in Revelation. He gives them a commission. It is a picture and a type. I don't have time to go into a lot of it, but is it a picture and a type of a mid-tribulational appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to the nation of Israel? I'll give you a story in the Bible that matches this perfectly, and we really don't have time to read it. I guess we could. It's in John chapter number 6. In John chapter number 6, let me explain it to you. In John chapter number 6, he tells the disciples, get in the ship, go the other side. Okay? So let's say this is point A, and this is point B. This is the other side. The disciples get into a ship. They go on the other side. The Bible says about halfway, they get into a storm. Okay? Somebody appears to them in the middle of a storm. There he is. And the Bible says when they received him into the ship, it's what it says, John 6. You have to read it. In John 6. Immediately, that's what it says, when they received him into the ship, immediately they were on the other side. Now, hang on. They traveled halfway. Now, don't you think they should have to travel the rest of the way? But in the middle, it's almost like as soon as they received him, they was already over there. It's like they skipped the last half. John 6. Mid-tribulational appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ and a mid-tribulational rapture. Immediately, they were on the other side. Now, you ever wondered, mid-tribulational rapture, There is one in the Bible, but it ain't us. You see? You have to understand. Yes, when people say, I believe in the mid-tribulation, I do too. But this is the we're going up right here, and there is a mid-tribulational rapture of the nation of Israel. Jesus appeared to those disciples in John 6. He appears in the middle of the tribulation, a pre-appearance. Just like Joseph did when his brothers came in, they appeared before Joseph. They didn't know who he was. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, they were frightened. They thought it was a ghost. They didn't know who he was until he revealed himself to them. And then they bowed down, face forward, and worshiped him. It's an amazing thing. Now, let's go back to Daniel 10. And let's look at verse number 7. After he describes this appearance, and I should have read it a while ago along with this, and I guess it probably would have made a little more sense. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. But a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. This is exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. Acts 9 says, I saw this vision, I heard a voice from heaven in the Hebrew tongue, and the guys that were with me didn't hear it. You know, all they felt was the ground shaking or whatever. Acts chapter number 9. Well, Daniel says, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Now, verse 8, therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness is health. My comeliness was turned in me unto corruption. I felt sick, and I restrained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words. And when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. Do y'all see? He's flat on his stomach, on his face. When you have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, It's where you want to get down. You ever wondered why we, you know, especially when we give an invitation? I know everybody can't kneel, you know, when you get even my, you know, knees and all of that. It's not hard to get down. It's hard to get back up. But when you want to get in the presence of God, and when you do, it's a matter of you wanting to get down. And so sometimes we get an altar. What do? You get down. Kneel down and pray. I know you can pray other ways, but I'm talking about get down and notice a hand touched him, raises him up. He's on his knees and still he's like in a dog position, if you understand. Still downward. Now, let me say some things about that. This appearance that gives us probably a little insight. This possibly gives us a little insight about how it's going to be. You know, I told you before, I said, you know, I'm afraid to die. Why? Not that I'm not going to heaven. I'm afraid to die because I've never done it before. You don't know what's, you know, like on the, you know how the process goes. Have no idea. Nobody's ever been able to come back and tell it, even though some have wrote books about it, which, you know, not sure about all of that. The Bible says nobody's seen God at any time. Anyway, but can you imagine taking your last breath? Can you imagine just the rapture? Let's just say either way, whether you take your last breath here or whether the rapture takes place and we enter into the glory world. And you, when you get into heaven, the first thing you want to do is get out on your belly, face down to the ground. What does it say? I was alone. I was alone, wasn't nobody else around, and I was down on my face. He said, I was alone, I saw this great vision, and there remained no strength. You just like a limp dish rag. No strength in me whatsoever. Now stay with me, this is good. You have entered into the third world, or the third heaven, face down, face to the ground, and no strength in you whatsoever. Yet I heard a voice in his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then I, in a deep sleep on my face, what's 1 Corinthians say? Those that sleep in Christ, will God bring with him? And my face toward the ground. And here we go. And behold, a hand touched me. A hand reached out and touched me. What happened when he touched me? I lost my place. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees in the palm of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words I speak, so on and so forth. And then the end of verse 11, he says, and when he had spoken his word unto me, I stood trembling. And you stand. You know, we have all these ideas, and it makes good preaching on Sunday morning. But sometimes it don't make good Bible. You know, well, we get into heaven, boy, we're going to run around and shout. You know, we probably will. But the first thing we're going to do is go in there belly first. You're in the presence. Don't think you're going to get in the presence of God coming from this world and just bebop in. Say, hey, how y'all doing? I'm here. Y'all glad to see me? I mean, you get in the presence of Almighty God, you're going to hit the ground. And you're going to feel weak. You've never been there before. It's a whole different world up there. You're going to feel weak, no strength. And a voice is going to come down and a hand is going to come down and touch you. You're going to get up on all fours, still with your head down. And then after he speaks the word, you stand up and you're still trembling. And Daniel don't quit trembling until about verse 19. Now, are we going to quit? Yes, but it's going to take a minute. You're in the presence of God. That just gives us just a little insight of what it might be. Now, notice what he says in verse number 11. He says, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. Daniel had a reputation in heaven. He had a reputation in heaven. Matter of fact, Gideon had a reputation in heaven. Old mighty man of valor. Gideon had never fought a war before. But God says, man of valor. What did he say to Mary? Mary, thou art highly favored among women. She had a reputation in heaven. Gideon had a reputation in heaven. Paul had a reputation in heaven. What was that verse over there? Let's see. Here we go. Acts 19, about verse 15. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? Amen. I mean, here's a good sermon. Do you have a good reputation in heaven? Does the devil know who you are? Have you caused enough trouble in the devil's army for him to even know who you are? Paul must have caused enough trouble. Isn't that something? Boy, I'm under convictions. Every head bowed, I wonder what kind of reputation. Yes, we have a reputation down here, but what about that one up there? What about the reputation in heaven? The angels, do they know? Do they know who you are? And when I say angels, it could be good or bad. Even the fallen angels, evil spirits, even this evil spirit said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are ye? We don't know who you are. You ain't caused enough trouble in the kingdom of Satan. We don't worry about you. You know, you don't even read your Bible, so we're not worried about you. Woo! Isn't that something? John on Alapatma, Revelation, calls John the beloved. Had a reputation in heaven. It's an amazing thing. Now, Look at verse number 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day, 21 days ago, that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Paul's praying. And Jesus said, this angel of the Lord says, I heard your prayer 21 days ago. And I've come down to give you some understanding about this. Sometimes we expect God to answer prayers. And sometimes he says, hey, you know, there's always an answer to prayer. Yes, no, and hang on. You know, wait a minute. Now, here's something very interesting. Well, look at 19. And said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee. Now, that's exactly what Jesus said to the disciples in the upper room when the doors were shut, a post-resurrectional body. He walks into the room beyond locked doors. He walks into the room, says, fear not, peace be unto you. Same thing he said to the disciples. It's what he said to Daniel here. Now, watch verse 13. And notice who shows up in verse 13. 13, number rebellion, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. That's 21 days, right? 1 and 20 is 21, right? But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, Michael the archangel, y'all remember him, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. Hold the phone just a minute. The king of Persia, are y'all telling me? The king of Persia, down here, withstood the Lord? No. This king of Persia is somebody totally different. Would y'all not agree? Well, let me show you something else. We were in Ezekiel a while ago. Look at Ezekiel 28. And let's look here. Ezekiel 28. Now, watch this. This is fixing to get a little crazy. Very quick. Ezekiel 28, one book right before Daniel. Verse number 11, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Okay, king of Tyrus. All right, we're going to talk about him. And say unto him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Well, I doubt the actual king of Tyrus on this earth was perfect in beauty. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The king of Tyrus on this earth was never in the garden of Eden. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the beryl. You know what this is describing? The devil. The king of Tyrus is Satan. You say, how you know? Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God, and hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in all thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. That's Satan. Called him the king of Tyrus. Back to Daniel 10, we have the king of Persia here. Look at verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou, wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I have gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. Now, all right, y'all ready for this? All right. Let me give you this verse first. Let me find it. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the what? The wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Prince of Persia, prince of Greece, king of Tyre, princes, principalities. Y'all see that? Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual weakness, where? In high places. Do you know where the spirit world resides? The spirit world. Bryson's been up here in my markers, and he's got every one of them open. Ain't no telling. They probably won't write. We've got God up in the third heaven, right? And then you've got the second heaven and the first heaven. The first heaven's where the birds fly. The second heaven is where the sun, moon, and stars are. And out there, there's principalities. There's powers. There's rulers of darkness in high places. They're all over the place. There's actually a bunch of them. Matter of fact, a third of the angels left when Lucifer did, right? When Lucifer fell, Lucifer, king of Tyrus, they called him, perfect in beauty till iniquity is found in thee, and there they are. Now, you're down here trying to get a prayer through. There you are. And you bow your head. And here comes, have y'all ever prayed and it felt, have you ever heard this saying before? Or maybe you've said it. You prayed and it felt like your prayer didn't get any higher than the ceiling. I prayed that. I prayed. I'm like, it can't get through the brick wall. You know what that is? There's spiritual wickedness between you and God. And Daniel prayed and it took 21 days. To get through all of this. Now, this is what it appears. This is where it gets a little, but that's fine. We're going to give you the Bible, and then you do what you want to. Believe what the Discovery Channel tells you. Whatever you want to do. Don't make any difference. But it appears that there is an evil representation in heaven for every country, every nation, every city, every municipality, principality, municipality. I mean, there is a spiritual wicked force that represents. All right, I'm telling you, I'm getting some bad looks now. Glad I got my glasses off. Job, Satan went up there. God says, have you considered my servant Job? He's got a good reputation up here. Fears God, excuse evil. Let me give you this verse. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. You know who he's talking about? The little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven, y'all know? Y'all know where that's at? In heaven, there, y'all see T-H-E-I-R is personal there. Who's the there referring to? The little ones. Have I got my English grammar right? There, the little ones, angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So that means in heaven, there are the angels of God that represent little ones up in heaven. Does that make sense? Okay, no. I'm not saying guardian angels. That's nowhere in the Bible about guardian angels. There's nothing in the Bible about that. Now, has there been, I've seen the pictures. You've probably seen the pictures of a car wreck and somebody took a snapshot and all of us, there's a figure in the back, and can that happen? I'm sure. They do have, both of this group do have access down here. But now you say, a lot of this activity especially was over here. But now, once a saved person, once you got the Holy Spirit inside of you, I'll take the Holy Spirit over a guardian angel. Okay? So there is some things there. Little ones, maybe under the age of accountability, I don't know, but they've got a representation up there. Matter of fact, all right, some of you still not with me on that one. Okay, look at 12, Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy what? You know who the archangel is for the nation of Israel? Is Michael. He's their representation. It's there. You say, I know what you're thinking. You're saying, okay, how do we know which representative, like America? Let's say America. Our representation in heaven, is it a bad one or a good one? I'll let you answer that because I don't know. I know the nation of Israel, Michael the archangel. Now, if you have wondered, you know, people say, well, Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet. And this is a side note. This is a little extra. Gabriel's going to blow the trumpet, you know, and all that. It's probably going to be Michael. Why? Because when Michael signals and blows that trumpet, he's the one that is the archangel for the nation of Israel. What's the tribulation for? The nation of Israel. He's going to sound that trumpet to bring in Daniel's 70th week. He standeth for the nation of thy people, Daniel, Israel. And he's probably going to be the one to blow the... Now, am I going to argue about that? No. I don't care who blows it. Somebody blow it. Now, let me see if I got anything else. Okay. Now, let's go back to Daniel, verse chapter 10, and let's look here. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia... It's just odd that that's in verse 13. Withstood me. Now, I know what you're thinking. The me is the angel of the Lord. So the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And guess what? Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. The Lord had to have help. It can't be the Lord. He don't need help. All right, remember this. Watch this. Y'all remember this verse? Y'all remember in Matthew chapter 4? In Matthew chapter number 4, and I'm fixing to go to the verse, but Matthew chapter 4, Jesus and the devil go back and forth for 40 days and 40 nights. And after Jesus had fought with him back and forth. It is written. It is written. No, it ain't. Yes, it is. 40 days. Matthew 4 and verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Y'all see that? Look at this one. In Luke chapter number 22. Y'all remember the Garden of Gethsemane? He's praying, sweats, were great drops of blood, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Y'all see that? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down on the ground. Now, all right, I know what you're thinking. I know, because I agree with you. The Lord outpowers any of them. But watch. Daniel gives us the key. Look at verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, when you started praying 21 days ago, and to chasten thyself before thy God, chasten thyself. Daniel, why were you chastening yourself? You know what hinders our prayers from getting through that little group of folks right there? Our sin. Our shortcomings. You know why? When we get down on our hands and knees, it feels like a battle. We're trying to fight through. And the longer it gets before the Lord comes, it's going to get worse and worse. Because if God could pull back the curtain and let us see what's out there. There's always a Bible example. 2 Kings chapter 6. We've got time to look at it. 2 Kings chapter 6, remember? Elisha. And they're out there. And his servant, forgot what his name was. He wakes up early in the morning. Elisha's sleeping in that morning. And his servant wakes him up and says, look, man, there's an enemy out here. Elisha gets up and says, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. He opens his eyes and a whole host of chariots, horses, and in the glory world, in the second heaven. And he says, there's more on our side than it is on theirs. Fear not. If God could roll back and let us see the war that's going on to keep us from having church tonight, to keep us getting our prayers through, the war that's going on in heaven right now. I mean, you listen. You know why? I don't know how many rooms y'all have ever been into where people are crossing over, going to the other side. But I'm old enough, I ain't just old, but I'm old enough to remember seeing somebody cross over before they did all of this morphine stuff and put everybody, you know. Y'all with me? Y'all ever heard stories about somebody that was lost, didn't know Christ, and they're on their deathbed, and they're the last few minutes? Get them out of here. My feet are burning. We don't hear that anymore because now they, you know, pump them with all that stuff and it's just a peaceful thing. But used to, before they did all that, there's a bunch of people got saved after experiencing, my feet are burning. They're here to get me. Get them off of me. That stuff's real. And it's out there. On the other side of the coin, a saved person that dies, it's almost just right before they get ready to cross over, it's almost like the clouds roll back and they see something that we can't see. It's like God rolls back like he did Elisha. He said, open their eyes that they may see what's out there. And it's just almost like it's an amazing thing. Now, we don't see much of that anymore. Why? Because, like I said, the modern medicine, you know, just to keep them from suffering, all that kind of stuff, they just inject them with certain, a chemical here and a chemical there, and it, together it just puts them, you know, and all of that. And you don't see a lot of those stories that the old-time preachers used to tell. Man, I remember them old-time preachers. Man, he used to preach, and son, they'd say, I was in the room right here, and man, this guy was hollering and screaming. Well, we don't see people getting saved anymore. Why? Because we don't see the reality of that anymore. I don't want y'all to think I'm crazy. But did you realize that there are people, sane people, that have seen what they have called a UFO? I'm not talking about folks, promise you, I'm not talking about a little saucer and there's little bitty Martian men in this little thing flying around out there. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just for a split second, God just rolls back for a second. What is a UFO? An unidentified flying object. They're out there. All in Daniel 10. And if you can't see it, I can't help you. Because it's there. The Lord says, Daniel, I heard your prayer 21 years ago, but there were some things that you had to get right. You were chasing yourself. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. If a man judge himself, he should not be judged. But if he's not judged, he's chasing of the Lord. So Daniel, what hinders? What hinders? Why do we hit a brick wall? It's because there's unconfessed sin. Amen? And we're trying to break through. God says, I hear your prayer. It's just going to take me a little time. You get some stuff right and let's make a pathway through here. The angel of the Lord says, I had to get Michael to help me. Michael the archangel. Now you have to understand, in Hezekiah's day, one angel. We're not talking about an archangel. We're not talking about a cherubim or a seraphim. We're just talking about a regular old lower private angel in Hezekiah's day slew 185,000 by himself. You talking about? I don't know what Michael the archangel could do. Matter of fact, you know, some of the reason I'm still harping on this is because I'm still getting these looks of unbelief. Jude, I think about verse 9, Michael the archangel contended. You know what contending is? Fighting with the devil over the body of Moses. Here's Moses. Y'all with me? He's done kicked the bucket, his body, and all of a sudden he runs into Michael the archangel has to come down here and fight to get Moses out of here. Probably because they're trying to keep Moses from coming back right there. Anyway. It's all in there. Hallelujah. So it appears that kingdoms, nations, and all that has a representation up there. Now, let's see where to get to. Let's see verse 14. Let's finish up. Now I've come to make thee understand, and shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and became dumb. Now that don't mean ignorant. That means he couldn't speak. You ever heard of deaf and dumb? This is not ignorant, but it's where he couldn't speak. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this, my Lord, talk with this, my Lord? For as for me, straightway, there remained no strength in me. Now, all he's doing is giving a little more detail of what's already happened when he's talking about I had no strength and this, that, and the other. Neither is there breath left in me. You just took my breath when I mean, can you imagine going and just take your breath? Then there came again and touched me, one like the appearance of a man. And he strengthened me and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight the prince of Persia. And then I am gone forth. Lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. You remember the kingdom that takes over after the Medes and the Persians is Greece, Alexander the Great. Mr. Man X. His name's not mentioned in the Bible. Mr. Man X. I ain't got time. Verse 21. But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of truth. And there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince.